Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the yada yada, all that. Let's get started. We don't have time. We don't have a lot of time to mess around. I'm going to get to some of this late-term abortion talk. Late-term abortion talk. Yeah, we're going to get to some of that. We'll get to, Governor Northam, the Virginia, and we'll get to... Jussie Smollett. Jussie? Have you heard of Jussie Smollett? He asked. He's extremely attractive. Audio engineer. You're not familiar with Jussie?
Jussie.
This is another one whose mom is just too clever by half, right? He's a star. And you never heard of him?
No.
He's a star of a show called Empire. Don't you tape every episode? Anyway. We'll get to Jussie, says mom's too clever by half. She couldn't go with the traditional Jesse, but maybe because it's biblical, or maybe she just didn't know how to spell. It's J-U-S-S-I-E. We'll get to him later, but first I want to open up with the fact that the investigation into the Las Vegas massacre has been closed, and both state and federal and local, both? I'm sorry. All the officials who looked at it from every different angle have determined that there just was no motive. There was no clear motive. Now, that'll get the conspiracy people going. They're already weaving webs of intrigue that you'll be hearing about. But let me put all that to rest, ladies and gentlemen, because in modern-day America, there can be a massacre, and there's really no need for a motive. There's on any given day, someone might just decide upon a massacre. They're no longer, we're in a society so drenched in bloodshed and violence that you just really don't need a motive to massacre people anymore. So there was no conspiracy. This guy just decided that killing people was one way to deal with whatever his problems were in his life. And that's what he chose to do. And there you have it. That's all. We're in a post-motive era. Just need not be a motive. The motive is all around you in that murder has become so normalized. Even mass murder is normal. In fact, do I have the story? It's deeper down. I wasn't going to do this right off the bat. But did you guys hear? Here it is. Did any of you people hear this week about the mass killing at a SunTrust bank branch in Sebring, Florida? So I heard nothing about this until I saw a headline. I was reading another story in a Florida newspaper, and I saw one of those headlines on the side, whatever they're called. And it said that they were holding a vigil for five bank shooting victims. And you know how I feel about vigils. I'm not a big fan of vigils, so I clicked the story to see who's holding a vigil and how long ago were these people shot? Whatever, just to get the details. Well, it turns out last Wednesday, five women were shot and killed at the SunTrust Bank in Sebring, Florida. A massacre. I never heard about it. And listen to this. Speaking of motive, police say it appears to be a random act. The killer, a 21-year-old, had no connection to any of the victims and wasn't robbing the bank. He just went in and shot five women to death. No apparent motive. He now faces five counts of premeditated murder. The state's attorney says that he will seek the death penalty. Well, good luck with all that. That's how normal murder is. Five women shot to death in a bank, and the whole nation should be shocked. It should shock the nation. But we can't be shocked anymore. And the killers don't even need a motive anymore. All right. Let's go, what do I want to do here? That's just so depressing way to open the show, I apologize. I don't want to do the judge. I don't want to do the... Oh, I could do Judge Jeanine. I happened upon Judge Jeanine's show. What's the deal? Is her stage producer... Is he getting costumes from the 1986 Motley Crue tour? What's up with that? With the leather and the slashes and the... I don't know. It's just really weird what's going on with her. Anyway, I happened to cross her show the other night, Friday night, and the Chyron on the screen said "The Rise of the Radical Left" in all caps. Red and scary. And I'm thinking, Judge Jeanine, where have you been for the last 50 years? The Rise of the Radical Left. The Radical Left bombed the Pentagon back in the 70s. I mean, I understand that maybe Jeanine didn't consider the left all that radical until they started talking about actually killing children, actually already born. But I'm going to go back to that. But note to Judge Jeanine. Number one, have a talk with your wardrobe people, okay? Vince Neil wants his outfit back.
No, she can't wear those.
No,
that's it.
He's a little too chunky to fit in him anymore. And so they ended up in Judge Jeanine's closet. All right. Now, but second of all, the left has been radical for, the rise of the radical left, you're just a little late on that one, Judge Jeanine there. But let's move from that into some news that you won't hear anywhere else because I'm not going to do the... I coined a term for this, and now I've lost it. The Trump opera. That's my term. Nobody can steal it without giving me credit. It's the Trump opera, and I'm not going to follow the Trump opera for you. Instead, let's go to the subway in New York City where homeless people are taking over the subways because it's cold, you see? And so the poor, hapless riders in the subways in New York, the homeless are seeking shelter. And the commuters on the subway say the problem has gotten so bad that quite often they can't even sit down because the homeless have basically set up encampments in the cars. 2, 3, 4 people sleeping in one or more cars. The commuters say the smell is terrible. Sometimes the homeless defecate in the car. Defecate, I said. And one commuter said, when that happens, you have to leave the car. Because if you thought just the smell of the homeless was bad, well, anyway. One guy says, a lot of times I'm standing because I don't want to sit down. Because, well, the aforementioned defecation and all. So commuters say they have been reporting this to the Metropolitan Transit Authority there. And the Metropolitan Transit Authority spokesperson issued a statement. And MTA says transit rules of conduct prohibit certain behavior. The rules are enforced by the NYPD. So basically punting it over to the police, saying, look, we got rules. Talk to the police if you got defecation and sleeping bums and all that, junkies and needles and everything else. Anyway, the MTA president, Andy, no doubt the slow-witted relative of an as-yet unidentified elected official there in New York. That was his statement. He said, look, we got rules. The police are supposed to... anyway. So 3 months ago, slow-witted Andy repeatedly said that homelessness is a societal problem, that it demands a multi-agency approach... balancing everyone's right to a clean, safe, and comfortable experience on public transit with the need to get people the help they need. We hope to be a part of a holistic response to this citywide crisis. No questions, please. He ducked back into the building. Who will the liberals choose? The average working class person just trying to get to work without catching typhoid from bodily waste, or the homeless. The homeless who doesn't work and is shiftless but will vote Democrat reliably. So the ruling left, that's another term that I have coined, by the way. forget the ruling class. It's the ruling left. The ruling left belongs to both the Republican and Democrat Party. And they are ruling, ladies and gentlemen. They are. I know you hear we're winning. We're not, okay? If you think you're winning, you're delusional. We're not winning. We're being rolled over and crushed by the ruling left. And the ruling left will side with the homeless. And they will hire more of their slow-witted relatives to scrape the feces off the subway cars. Once or twice a month. Because it's kind of a no-show job, like so many of those. All right, and so they want a holistic approach. They talk about getting these homeless people the help they need. And so I have a confession to make to the Weekly World audience, that maybe that Weekly Worldview audience even, that may be shocking to some of you, but I was homeless at one time in my career. I had no home. I lived in a Daihatsu charade, and I ate tuna fish from a can. And when McDonald's had 29-cent burger day, that was big celebration. Well, I guess we did have a home. We had a Daihatsu.
Mobile home.
We had a mobile home. That's right. We were homeless, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, I just wanna say that when I was homeless, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we went to a soup kitchen. And we stood in line for, seems like 4 or 5 hours. I'm sure it was 15 minutes. And then when I looked the social worker in the eyes, I grabbed my extremely attractive audio engineer's hand and I said, let's get out of here. I'll rob a bank. I'll do anything. I'm not going to do this. So no, we didn't rob a bank. And so we just ate tuna fish out of a can, right? Well, I was homeless and I will tell you people, that it was a combination. There are a few things that helped me end my struggle with homelessness. Do you remember? You remember when we struggled with homelessness, folks? I was struggling with homelessness, and I'll tell you what brought it to an end was a combination of law enforcement, shame, and the charity of Christians. Those three things combined, starting with law enforcement, telling me, no, you can't sleep here. Move that car, you can't sleep here. Started with that. And then there was the shame of not having a home. And then third, I met Christian people who had charity and probably helped me get some of that tuna fish in the can, if I remember correctly. And helped me enroll in an education. Anyway, it was law enforcement shame and the charity of Christian people that led me to escape my struggle with homelessness. And folks, government-funded charity by any other name doesn't work without the first two. It does not work without the first two. And that's why slow-witted Andy over at the MTA in New York City is incorrect that we need a holistic response. What you need to do is first rouse the homeless up and get them off the train and tell them you cannot sleep here. Yeah, it's really cold outside, isn't it? Maybe that would help them end their struggle with homelessness as they struggle to get a job and put a roof over their heads. All right, there we go. That's from the Decline and Fall file.
By the way, we didn't get the money from the Christian charity.
We didn't get any money?
Not the money.
We didn't get any money.
They educated.
Yeah. They didn't offer us any money. We didn't get any money. I don't remember how we got that tuna in a can. I'm not sure. They might have given us tuna fish. Anyway. All right. Meanwhile, did any of you hear about the bombing, the double bombing of the Catholic churches in the Philippines? Of course you didn't hear about it because the Trump opera is going on. So two bombs blew up two Catholic cathedrals, killing at least 20, wounding 80 others, at least 80. And this happened a week after minority Muslims were given the opportunity to vote on autonomy. And so these two bombs went off in Sulu province in the Philippines. And the story here from Fox News says that Sulu province Muslims rejected autonomy. That means they voted against the Islamists. And so what did the Islamists do? They blew up their churches. which right there, you should not be allowed to vote on autonomy. You shouldn't be allowed to. In fact, you should be pursued and killed. But instead, the Philippines, even the tough guy president there, Duterte, even the tough guy Duterte has knuckled under to the Muslims. And when they don't get what they want, they bomb. Well, they're kind of like the radical left. They don't get what they want. They start bombing things. Yeah, by the way, Islam is highly socialist. It's a socialist governing philosophy with a religion with a false god attached to it, I should say, is what it is. All right. And then let's go to Pakistan for one more from the Muslims. They blow up a couple of churches, but the Pakistani Supreme Court has upheld its acquittal of Asia Bibi on charges of blasphemy, finally, and they say totally lifting the death sentence that she's been under for the past 8 years. The reporters at the Associated Press wanted to get comments from Asia Bibi, but nobody can find Asia Bibi, and that's really good news for Asia Bibi, because if they do find her, they will cut off her head and burn her family's house down. She says, she doesn't say anything. Nobody can find her. So we don't have any quotes from her, but the Associated Press says that the last time they talked to Asia, she said she would like to join her daughters in Canada, where her daughters have been granted asylum. Now, that is shameful that Canada granted Asia Bibi asylum before Donald Trump, the greatest supporter of Christians and religious liberty in the history of our country, probably more so since George Washington. Well, where was Donald Trump when someone was trying to sneak Asia Bibi out of Islam is bad? I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That voted the greatest rock guitar solo of all time. Voted by me, as a matter of fact. So, and he can play that live, or well, he could. I don't know if he can play it anymore.
Why not?
Well, he doesn't play anymore.
He's making meatball.
That's right. He's whipping. He's doing spaghetti sauce on Staten Island. Last we heard, not interested in touring anymore. Have I already done this story? It seems like I already have. Let's move on. It's a very esoteric. 95% of the audience has no idea who that was.
Okay.
And let's just leave it that way. Let's go instead to the Yellow Jackets. The Yellow Jackets in Paris continued with what they called Act 11. That's the 11th consecutive week of angst-ridden millennials rolling out into the streets, setting cars on fire, breaking windows, and tearing down light poles. The ones with the traffic cameras. Now, I'm not a fan of the traffic cameras. In fact, I got a ticket. I just got a $75 ticket for an allegedly illegal left turn, allegedly. That they have pictures of me, and they have pictures of the light, and this, but it's all alleged at this point. So I'm no fan of traffic cameras, but I don't tear down the light poles. And I think if you do, if you are tearing down a light pole and a police see you, they should shoot you and kill you. Well, if you're with a large group of people and it's a riot, is what I'm saying. Anyway, a prominent figure in the Yellow Jacket riots, Jerome Rodriguez, was shot by riot police. Oh, remember we reported that the president was allegedly arming the police there with live ammunition and automatic weapons. Oh, but in this case, he was shot with a flashball round. Uh-huh. So not live ammo, I should say. Well, that's unfortunate. So he was shot, and now the other Yellow Jacket rioters are very upset because Jerome is facing the prospect of losing one of his eyes. having been shot in the eye by a flashball round. So sad for Jerome that he might lose his eye. Anyway, one of the other leaders of the Yellow Jackets said, "We declare this state of emergency for the people. We call for an unprecedented uprising." So, see, that's what happens when you shoot them with the flashballs. So now they want to have an unprecedented uprising. Had you mowed down a couple rows of them with 30 caliber fire, they wouldn't be calling for anything. They'd all be hiding in their mom's basement. Anyway, well, then the leader of the Yellow Jackets of the police went to his house and said, "What are you saying, unprecedented uprising? What exactly do you mean by this?" And then the punk, well, then he dissembled a bit and he clarified. He said, "Well, I meant we will increase the pressure, but of course not resort to violence." And then the police, I don't know, they all had croissants or something like that. According to this report from Breitbart, several Yellow Jackets have lost their eyes and hands due to what? Due to the fact that they're rioting and rioting is dangerous? No. The Breitbart reporter says that people in the Yellow Jackets have lost their eyes and hands due to riot police tactics. So it's the police's fault? You're out rioting the street, you end up getting your hand blown off? It's not the police's fault, you morons over there at Breitbart. All right, so now let's go from the Yellow Jackets to Antifa. Antifa from the Justice Fight. Is it Antifa? 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 It's Antifa, I guess. They're anti-fascist, they say. And so if you take the anti out, then it's a very accurate description. Antifa leader Joseph Jose... Joseph, I'm really sorry, I'm white, I'm gonna go by Jose. Alcoff, he's also known as Chepe. So he's got like a Mexican alter ego, I guess. He's been charged with multiple felonies out in Philadelphia, according to the Daily Caller News Foundation. He was involved with the Antifa mob that attacked a couple of Marines back in November. Did I report on this story? I don't think I did. It seems like the first time hearing about it. So Antifa surrounded these Marines, called them white supremacists and Nazis, at which point Marines Alejandro Godinez and Luis Torres said, "Hey, we're Mexicans." But that did not deter Antifa from attacking them. The Marines insisted they had no association with the right-wing group that was demonstrating nearby. But so Godinez said to the Antifa attackers, "Hey, I'm a Mexican." And then they started calling him a spick and a wetback. I thought Antifa was anti-racist. I mean, Joseph Jose Chepe Alcoff goes out of his way to try to come off as a Mexican. How can they be calling people spick and wetback? It's because they're actually fascists. They're actually racists. They're antichrist, God-hating little heathens who should be mowed down in the street with automatic fire by the authorities, by the way. The next time they have a group where they've got their masks and their sticks, you just walk out and you machine gun maybe a half a dozen of them. And the rest of them wet themselves and run home to mom's house. Do we have more from this story? Alcoff, that's Chepe Jose Joseph. He's an organizer of Smash Racism DC. They're calling these Marines. All right, Antifa. By the way, that group, Smash Racism DC, is the group responsible for mobbing Tucker Carlson's house and chasing Ted Cruz out of that restaurant down in Texas. And when this guy goes online, he speaks as Chepe. Because that's something with the millennials. Now me, if I go online and I comment on a news story, I use my name. I'm transparent, as they say. I just don't lie, and I don't have an alter ego. I'm Doug. I'm a white dude. I was born in Buffalo. I grew up in Texas, okay? I'm not really ethnically special in any way. Scots-Irish, that's all. And I'm either Doug McBurney, or sometimes I do Dr. McBurney just to mess with people so they think I'm a doctor. But I'm not a doctor. Well, I did an interview in a Caribbean island once where I was labeled a dermatologist, but but that was not my fault. I did not request that. But sometimes I do Dr. McBurney because those are my initials, but just to mess with people. Typically when I'm commenting on some post-abortive fascist's opinion about killing children, I use the Dr. McBurney. But anyway, but I don't have an alter ego, but this guy does. He speaks as Chepe, which that shouldn't be allowed, or you should at least be ashamed of it, or your mom should at least spank you because of doing it. And he talks when he's speaking as Chepe online under his Twitter handle, I'm a whatever. Alkoff has called for the killing of the rich. He's called for the killing of the rich, okay. And he's called for using violence to bring about a world without capitalism, without private property, and a world that is socialist and communist. All right. So he attacked a couple of Marines, called them wetback spicks, spit at them, did whatever. I don't think they actually physically accosted them because there is only about a dozen of the Antifa. And had they physically hit these two Marines, they would have all been left in a bloody heap in the street. How many Antifa does it take to intimidate two Marines? Well, more than 12, apparently, because there was no physical attack. Let's see here. Alkoff, who has called for the killing of the rich, is currently out on bail. Uh-huh, he's out on bail. So you shouldn't be allowed to call for the killing of the rich. And then you go out and you dress up in a mask with a stick and you intimidate people. And then the cops find out that you've been calling for the killing of the rich. I mean, to me, that's inciting murder. And so you should not be out on bail is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You shouldn't be out on bail. All right. So let's move on from Antifa. So it's getting kind of depressing. Let's go to Israel. From the Jerusalem Post, a small team of Israeli scientists thinks they might have found a complete cure for cancer. Let's see here. Dan Aridor, who's the president of Accelerated Evolution Biotechnologies, he says, quote, our cancer cure will be effective from day one. It will last a duration of a few weeks and will have no or minimal side effects at a much lower cost than most other treatments on the market. Our solution will be both generic and personal, to which I said to Dan, well, that sounds too good to be true, my friend. I'm all ears. I want to hear you out. But has there ever been a president of a biotech company that overstated their achievements in order to raise money and sell stock? And has that ever happened in any biotech company? I think that's happened in every biotech company. So let's take what Danny has to say with a grain of salt. But let's hear him out. The treatment is called Mutato, multi-target toxin, and it's essentially on the scale of an antibiotic against cancer. It's pretty interesting. It involves the introduction of DNA coding for a protein, such as an antibody, into a bacteriophage, a virus that infects bacteria. The protein is then displayed on the surface of the phage. So it's a way of building an antibody and then unmasking the cancer to the antibody. It's pretty impressive sounding. By the way, in 2018, a team of scientists won the Nobel Prize for their work on phage display in what they call the directed evolution of new proteins. And I just get a kick out of that word, directed evolution. Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole evolution creation thing. You people know how I feel. But it's just amazing that the sophistication of the biological systems that God endowed us with will enable us to cure diseases despite ourselves and our belief that everything evolved from nothing. Anyway, so they're doing similar work as the Nobel Prize winners are Danny and Accelerated Evolution Biotechnologies. But they're doing it with peptides. Peptides have several advantages over antibodies, including that they're smaller, cheaper, and easier to produce and regulate. They say what we're trying to do is discover individual novel peptides for specific cancers. So they're trying to find these specific peptides, but then they thought to try to identify why other cancer-killing drugs and treatments don't work. And most anti-cancer drugs attack a specific target on or in a cancer cell. Well, the cancer cells mutates. Well, they call it mutate. I don't call it mutate. I call it adaptation, utilizing existing information in order to survive. That's what the cancer does. It doesn't mutate. If it mutated, it'd probably die. But they call it mutations because they're obsessed with evolution. We'll leave that where it is. Anyway, once the cancer cell adapts, now the target is not relevant to the drug, or the drug can't see it. The drug is basically rendered ineffective. So Metato, this multi-target toxin, is using a combination of several cancer-targeting peptides for each cell at the same time. Combined with a strong peptide toxin that will kill the cancer cells, and they say that by using at least three targeting peptides at the same time, they make sure the treatment will not be affected by adaptations or what they call mutations. Cancer cells can adapt using existing information to survive in such a way that targeted receptors are dropped by the cancer. But if you target enough of those receptors all at the same time, the cancer can't adapt fast enough and they can kill it. That's the hope. They say the probability of having multiple mutations that would modify all targeted receptors simultaneously decreases dramatically with the number of targets used. We attack three receptors at a time. And they say not even cancer can adapt three receptors at the same time. And so, folks, it's an exciting time to be alive. The immune system that God gave us is amazing, and scientists are decoding it, and things are, other than if you stay out of the Trump opera, some things at least are looking up. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I'm so glad that you stuck with us, and all right, we're back. We're back. Underrated. That's two guitar players. That means they're both underrated. That's all right. So we go. Let's see. I have to address the Jussie Smollett incident. And are you even familiar with the incident? He said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. I read a Chicago Tribune article about the incident. Okay. They say that Jussie Smollett is an African-American actor who happens to be gay. So here's the thing, folks. He doesn't happen to be gay. He puts some effort into that, okay? He does that on purpose. He doesn't He happens to be African American, but he doesn't happen to be gay. So anyway, let's see if you believe this, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. Let's see. You got a homo, right? He's in, he flies into Chicago to do whatever he does there, I don't know. And he decides to go out at 2 a.m. Uh-huh. So you got a homo who, by definition now, he's a mentally ill person. Okay, I'm sorry. He's a homosexual. He's mentally ill. So already, I'm a little concerned for his safety. But I would say not only is he mentally ill, I would say he's criminally insane because he brags about it in public, the fact that he's a mentally deranged homosexual. But let's leave that aside. See, this is why I tucked this into the middle of the show. Just in case Google and YouTube and Yahoo and whoever, the NSA, the CIA, the LSD, if they're listening, I figure they probably can't make it through the first half. They have to turn it off. And so I stick the homophobic stuff in the middle. Yeah, that's... So we get to Jussie Smollett. Now, he decides to go out at 2 a.m. for Subway or maybe a Grindr. That's a code word, you see. Oh, I was going out at 2 a.m. for Subway is what it was. But let's leave that aside, why he left his hotel at 2 a.m. or his house or whatever. And he started walking out into the Chicago night at 2 o'clock in the morning. One way or another, Jussie Smollett, who happens to be African-American, meets up with two men. As homos are often apt to do at 2 a.m. when they're out there. And for whatever reason, he comes back to the hotel and he's a bit roughed up. Looks like maybe he was in a tussle of some sorts. Now, is it possible that he was actually attacked by two white men wearing MAGA hats who put a rope around his neck and poured bleach on him? No, that's not possible. Okay, so we know that it's very obvious that he's lying about that. But is it possible that he met up with two men in a way that homos are often apt to do at 2 a.m. And for whatever reason, it got a little rough and he later regretted it, as is apt to happen to homos at 2:15 a.m. in the morning after. And then is it possible that this mentally ill actor invented a story to garner sympathy for himself and ameliorate his shame for what he did at 2 o'clock in the morning on the cold streets of Chicago with two other guys? Or was he attacked by two Trump volunteers in MAGA hats? Which is the more likely scenario? You be the judge. All right. Now, speaking of the judge...
I don't understand this story. So he got attacked.
Well, he says he got attacked.
So why is that a big deal?
Well,
it happens all the time.
Well, you're right. You're right. People get attacked all the time. But it was a homophobic attack.
Oh,
and they said, this is MAGA country. They were wearing MAGA hats. I don't know if they were wearing MAGA hats. They allegedly said, this is MAGA country, which I've never heard anyone say that ever. But apparently, but anyway, I'm saying it's more likely. Well, I'm not going to say what's more likely. You be the judge. You decide. I just don't believe Jussie. That's all. Jussie. Now, speaking of the judge, let's get to the governor. All right? The governor. So... A sitting governor, early in the week, early last week, called for the killing of babies on the delivery table. That's what he called for. Not one person in politics or the media called for his resignation. Not one single person. Then, later that week, the same judge, Northam, in Virginia, gets caught in blackface drunk at college in his yearbook. And now everyone's calling for his resignation, including some Republicans even, who never call for anybody to resign. Unless it's a Republican who's been caught with a dead girl or a live boy, or, you know, the old... Now I was already planning on coming on the show and calling for his arrest. That's what I was going to call for before the blackface or the Klan out, whichever it is, I don't know. Before it ever turned out that he did something stupid and racist when he was drunk in college, I was going to call for him to be arrested for advocating the murder. For advocating murder, a sitting governor is advocating the murder of innocent people, and you wonder why the shooter in Las Vegas had no motive. What do you need a motive for? The sitting governor says kill babies on the delivery table. Anyway, number one. People should have been calling for his arrest on the day they heard that he called for killing babies. and the blackface should be an incidental, a tiny asterisk in the story of this guy's life. What about the killing of children? Oh, I forgot. We're all comfortable with that now, aren't we? Oh, well, not on the table. Not at 9 months. Not after dilation. You know what? I've noticed that in just 1 week, it seems to me that in just 1 week, the ruling left has moved the debate on child killing away from anything resembling ending abortion or abolition or whatever you want to call it, to arguing about when is it offensive to kill children. And I think that we've all, or at least most of us, have decided that, hey, 9 months, that makes me uncomfortable. Well, but what about the first 8 months? What about those? Because you see, it seems to me that the pro-life industry, the hacks at Susan B. Anthony List and National Right to Life Committee, Focus on the Family, Operation Rescue, Live Action, all the people who've advocated these child-killing regulations over the past decade or so, it seems to me that they've made even pro-life people comfortable with some abortion. It seems to me. And now, in less than a week, the ruling left has grabbed that opportunity, knowing that even conservatives and Christians are getting fairly comfortable with some child killing because that's what their leadership have told them, that it's okay. So now they've driven the debate to the 9th month. So that it's going to be very difficult now to even start an argument about the first 8 months, because now the debate's over here. Maybe I'm just really pessimistic, but that's the way I feel, is that the adversary has moved the paradigm. He shifted the paradigm an order of magnitude lower right before our eyes in a week. And it's the Christians' fault, because we should know what they are. We know what they are. They want to kill as many kids as they can. And if we acquiesce to one of them, we're a traitor. We're a traitor and should be drummed out of the pro-life industry. The whole pro-life industry should be sent out on a skiff and torched rhetorically. All right. So the Democrats, they start calling on his resignation over blackface, but not child killing. Well, that's to be expected. They're offended by blackface. They're not offended by butchering a child on the delivery table, and we should know that. So let's not even go to that argument about late-term abortion. I don't even like that term, late-term abortion. In fact, what do I have here? I should finish with this low-life, deviant bastard, Governor Ralph Northam. Here's what he said, quote, "If a mother is in labor, the infant would be delivered, then the infant would be kept comfortable and resuscitated, if that's what the mother and family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother." What would that discussion be, ladies and gentlemen? It would obviously be a discussion about killing the baby or letting him live. That's what the argument would be. And the reporter at NTK Network, where I got this story, the reporter says, "Democrats have successfully advocated for abortion by claiming that the life growing inside of a mother is a fetus and not a human. Northam's answer here sounds like he's talking about killing infants after they're born, which would be a direct violation of that child's constitutional rights." So this is why we're losing, ladies and gentlemen. Whoever wrote this article is on our side, obviously, but he's worried about the constitutional rights of the child? Excuse me? The constitutional rights are the least of the child's concerns. At that point, his right to life isn't really, we're talking about his actual life. We're talking about the child's actual life is in danger right at that moment. It's a life and death situation. Rights, nobody's thinking about rights. The child's life is going to be taken, and it's going to be taken by someone bigger and stronger and a lot meaner than him. But I thought all you leftists who are all pro-choice, I thought you didn't like mean people. View, and I am your host, Doug McBurney, and yeah, they're going to get it. All of them. The child killers and those who regulate the killing of the innocent, they're all going to get it. They're all going to get it. Judgment Day is going to be a busy day. Ladies and gentlemen, you should prepare for it now because it is real. But let's move on to something a little more uplifting than pondering the eternal damnation of the child killers, because that's depressing. Let's go instead to the science. This is the main file is the science file, and this is from the subfile, Give GMOs a Chance file. Just all we are saying is give. Scientists, according to the Mirror in London, scientists have genetically modified chickens to lay eggs containing high-quality cancer drugs. That's right. Researchers believe this new technique could offer a cost-effective way of producing drugs in the very near future. They say the test drugs that were produced in the chicken eggs work just as well as ones produced using existing methods. And it only took 3 eggs to produce an adequate dose to treat the average cancer that they were targeting there. Interesting. They say this study, I have a quote from Professor Helen Tsang. She says, we're not yet producing medicines for people, but this study shows that chickens are commercially viable for producing proteins suitable for drug discovery studies. And eggs are already used, by the way, I did not know this. Chickens' eggs are already used for growing viruses used as vaccines. You would think I would have already known that, but I didn't know that. Well, in this case, it's more than, they're not just growing it in the egg. In this case, the chicken's DNA was encoded with proteins produced as part of the egg white, a human protein called IFN-alpha-2A, which is an antiviral, anti-cancer protein, and the human and pig versions of a protein called macrophage CSF. Okay. The head of Avian Biofarming, Avian Biofarming. I thought I mispronounced that, but that's what it is. Wow. Over at Roslin Technologies says that, what does he say? Says this is not just for human therapeutics, but also can be used in fields of research of animal health. So for all you liberals who are upset that we're on the verge of curing cancer for all those horrible, hated humans out there, we'll also be able to help the animals. So this will help the liberals don't go crazy. So if you start talking about curing cancer, the liberals are going to freak out with their overpopulation hysteria. Oh, no, not enough people dying. Don't let the liberals know. They're very efficient at killing millions and millions of people. Maybe we should keep all this cancer research. We should keep this quiet from the liberals. The last thing we want is... All right, meanwhile... Let's go to the child abuse file. It's from Canada. The National Post is reporting that Canada's family doctors have been getting new guidance from the government's healthcare system on how to manage the burgeoning number of trannies. Teens identifying as transgender. No, are they struggling with transgenderism? Oh, no. You don't ever want to say they're struggling with transgenderism. No. You struggle with homelessness. You can struggle with addiction, but not transgenderism. That you have to wholeheartedly welcome with open arms. No struggle. If you struggle against it, you're obviously transphobic. So anyway, the doctors in Canada, the new guidance from the government up there urges doctors to take a thoughtful and affirming approach and avoid influencing the adolescent to move down a path they would not have chosen for themselves. Okay. The youth's voice is always paramount. So this is where you end up when the adults in the society lose the confidence in their right to exercise authority over the children. So this idea, don't influence an adolescent to move down a path they would not have chosen for themselves, that's the antithesis of raising children. The whole object of raising children is to influence them, especially when they're adolescents, to move down a path they would not have chosen for themselves. Because what would they choose for themselves? Snacks, video games, bed, and maybe dope. Okay? So the job of a parent is being undermined by the government. And why is this allowed to happen? Because both the governing officials and the parents no longer have the confidence of their righteousness. And when you lose the confidence of your righteousness, and I'm not saying I'm righteous, I'm saying that my role as a parent to raise and discipline my children is a righteous role. And I have confidence that when I do that in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that I'm doing right. And so I act with confidence. But most adults no longer have that confidence. They don't. And once you lose that, well, that's the end of society. That's it. We're circling the drain. Anyway, back to Canada and the doctors sodomizing children, basically, at least psychologically and policy-wise. Although the consensus in the medical community in the 1960s and 70s viewed gender variance through a disease model, that's back when there were still some sane people. They were like, oh, you want to change your sex? We think there's something wrong with your head. Okay? Because, obviously, that's like the height of delusion. You want to chop what off? Hold on, son. Let's get you to a doctor. But no, not anymore. Now, they say that back then, transgenderism was deemed pathological and in need of correction. But now, the authors write, the current approach is an affirming one that does not view gender variance as pathological. Do you get that, folks? In 40 years, there's been a complete 180-degree turn in the medical and the psychological community. From this is pathological and dangerous to this is wonderful and good. So somebody's right and somebody's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And I would rather operate on 5,000 years of written human history and the instructions from the living God, by the way. The instructions from the living God coming first. But hey, even if you're a heathen, can't you look at the last 5,000 years of human history? Apparently not. That would be transphobic. The article provides recommendations. Back to the Canada article, by the way. Sorry, no segue there. I don't want to lose you. The article provides recommendations prescribing hormone blockers to suppress puberty as well as cross-sex hormones. Folks, we are in a wild, crazy, insane, dangerous, sick, pathological world. Doctors are being encouraged by socialist, homosexual, deviant perverts to molest the minds and bodies of children. Why? So that they can eventually molest them physically. That's why. That's what this is all about. The review from the Canadian government comes as divorced parents fight complex and messy legal battles over who gets to decide the course of hormone treatment for their transgender teen. Is this a problem? That we've got all kinds of court cases? Apparently this is a problem now. Who gets to decide if Johnny becomes Jane? Folks, if that is a problem, if that's enough of a problem that it needs to be addressed from a policy standpoint, I mean, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep, deep trouble. All right. Experts report more youth are suddenly identifying as transgender.
Suddenly?
Yeah. Suddenly. Yeah, we did a story on it. In fact, they cite that. A recent controversial study on what they call rapid onset gender dysphoria suggested that social and peer contagion could be behind what they call cluster outbreaks. These kids get on social media and YouTube, and they see that Frankie and Johnny are going tranny and everybody loves them, and they're depressed, and maybe they're unattractive, maybe they're not that bright, maybe their parents are divorced and they're jerks. And these kids just want to find someone to love them. And since their parents don't, their parents hate each other and hate their kids. They hate God. So what's a kid to do? A poor, helpless product of the public schools. Go tranny. Everyone will celebrate you. In Canada, and by the way, this is from a country that is trying to rescue the Christian girl from Pakistan. So all's not lost in Canada, but boy, an awful lot is lost. And by the way, I just want to mention this really quick. So I kind of glossed over this. You know, the review comes as divorced parents are fighting battles over. Anyway, I think that divorce is the heart of so many of our societal ills. And if you can't figure out how to keep your marriage together, you're a pathetic loser and a failure. And if you get divorced and you're in my circle of friends, I look at you as a pathetic loser and a failure. That's all. If you're the cause of a divorce, you are a pathetic loser and a failure. And I will shun you. So there. All right, what else do we got? The mayor of South Bend, Indiana is a homo. I didn't know that. And now he's announced he's going to run for president. He's launching an exploratory committee. All right, that makes me nervous when a homo launches an exploratory committee. Just don't come over here, all right? Keep your distance. All right, this is Mr. Buttigieg. Buttigieg? I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Buttigieg. Buttigieg. Anyway, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which is Pete Buttigieg, he's a Rhodes Scholar, a Naval Reserve officer, a veteran of the Afghanistan War, and became mayor and then turned queer. And then everybody loved him. He got reelected with 80% of the vote after turning queer. He then married his husband in June. That's sickening to say. And this would be the first openly like that in the White House with a husband. Here in Colorado, we're already experiencing that on a, at the executive level, we've got our own first fellow. I don't know what you call him. Sickening stuff. Anyway, does it seem far-fetched? Let me just ask the question. Does it seem far-fetched that an open homo who married a guy could actually be in the White House? It really doesn't. It doesn't seem that far-fetched. I think maybe 25 years ago it would have seemed far-fetched. But it doesn't seem far-fetched. What happened to South Bend, Indiana? I thought that was like the buckle of the Bible Belt. But no, the mayor's a queer and he got married and everybody loves him. All right. Here's another reason I don't watch movies. Director Bryan Singer, the director of a number of movies that you people have entrusted your children to watch. This guy, Bryan Singer, he's a director. He was entrusted by millions of parents to entertain their children. Uh-huh. And now he's the subject of a new report. Four new men are accusing him of raping them. And when they were young, underage. Underage. Just sick. The claims range from inappropriate touching to full-out rape. 50 sources over the course of a year have now come out and said this guy either raped them, fondled them, just sickening stuff. So, but he's defending himself because, well, 50? I mean, all right. So I don't watch movies. That's just one of the reasons. I don't watch movies because everyone involved are a bunch of deviant perverts. I shouldn't say everyone. When I say everyone, I don't mean every single person. I just mean the vast majority are sick, deviant perverts. And I don't use the software that takes the really dirty parts out. So I don't get that. It's like, oh, you just want to take out the really, really filthy parts so that the whole rest of the broad overarching story of deviance and perversion comes through? I mean, who needs that? It bleeps out the F word. Okay, that's great. Anyway, you know what, though? You know what it is? Long ago, sometime in the 90s, I lost my ability to suspend disbelief. I know they're acting. I can't enjoy it. It seems stupid. It's like dancing. It just seems really, really dumb. Yeah. So anyway, I already talked about late-term abortion. Donald Trump said this past week that Democrats are becoming the party of late-term abortion. Telling me by default that the Republicans are now the party of early-term abortion. Mr. Trump, thank you very much. The most pro-life president since George Washington crossed the Delaware. Sarah Sanders, meanwhile, this is from the Dumb Religion file. Sarah Sanders went on CBN. That's the network that God is... You know CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network? Have you ever watched that? No, you haven't. Not for more than a few minutes. I watch it sometimes just to laugh. And then I almost cry because they're embarrassing, right? CBN is the network where God is assigned responsibility for everything that fits the superstitious Christian narrative. If something good happens, they have someone on to talk about how God wanted it. If something bad happens, they have someone on who comes on who says, God was teaching us this when this happened. It's pathetic superstition. It's a joke. They're a bunch of thieves, by the way. Liars and Thieves, the Christian Broadcasting Network. Robbing old women to build mansions is what they do. And yeah, go ahead. They could sue me for it. I would love to get some of their faith healers up there on the stand. Anyway, so Sarah Sanders, a relatively shallow, superstitious Christian, a biblical illiterate, just like her father, who's, by the way, was a preacher of the gospel, allegedly. Sarah Sanders, when her father is Mike Huckabee, the former governor of, I forget where.
Arkansas.
All right. Thank you. Sarah Sanders went on CBN. Why? Because she's an idiot. And she said, and she could have went on there and shut her mouth and we would have just suspected she was an idiot. But she opened her mouth and now we all know. Because she says, I think God wanted Donald Trump to become president. Really? Did God come across that interview in Playboy and then decided this is my guy? Please, Sarah. Yeah, she said this in an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network. I think he's done a tremendous job supporting a lot of the things that people of faith really care about. Okay, Sarah. We're really interested in your opinion of the things people of faith really care about. But what about God? What about what he cares about? what? Well, crickets. I mean, what could she say? God cares about the shedding of innocent blood. That's like one of the top things he cares about in the Bible. He also cares about teaching children about the creation of the universe and how God created it. He cares about that so much, he mentions it in almost every book of the Bible and sometimes 10 and 20 times. He mentions the creation, Adam and Eve, the fall, the flood. He cares about that a lot. Has Donald Trump mentioned any of that? Has Donald Trump lifted one finger to stop the killing of an innocent person? Has Donald Trump lifted one finger to put to death the wicked, evil killers who are sitting on the federal death row right now? He's done nothing about anything having anything at all to do with anything to do with anything that God cares about. But I do agree with Sarah Sanders. He has done, he has supported a lot of things that people of faith really care about, like electing Donald Trump. By the way, when Sarah Sanders meant people said people of faith, she meant gullible evangelicals. And that's all of you out there who voted for Donald Trump thinking that God wants Donald Trump to be president. Why? Because God is really scared of Hillary. Hillary had God so scared, he picked the guy out of the Playboy interview to be. All right, I'm just not so sure I'm buying into that, Sarah. But now we all know that you're a moron. Okay. Meantime, so we've got Sarah Sanders saying God wants Donald Trump. We got the governor of Virginia calling for butchering children on the birthing table and not being arrested. How can you call for the killing of innocent people and the police don't come to your house? You're a governing official. You actually have the authority to kill people. He should be arrested, but no, instead we go across the river to Washington, D.C., to go on patrol with Zach Rybarczyk. He is the plastic straw enforcement officer. This comes to us from the Anchorage Daily News via the guilt trip file. In Washington, D.C., it is illegal for restaurants to distribute plastic straws, and they have a cop on the beat out enforcing it. This story from the Anchorage Daily News goes in how he basically threatens a Chinese restaurant. And he says, you got to get rid of these straws. That's right. The plastic straws are the newest target of environmentalists. Yes, they're trying to reduce millions of tons of plastic that ends up in trees, waterways, and in the bellies of wildlife. In the trees? Really? I mean, I've heard about the fish with the straw. In fact, I heard if you cut a fish open, they're mostly straws inside, is what I heard. I actually heard that from one liberal. And I've heard of the waterways with the big plastic patch out there in the ocean. I haven't heard anyone worried about plastic getting in the trees until now. How does the plastic end up in the trees, he asked. I don't know. Anyway, so let's see. It's one of the liberal authors says it's absurd the amount of resources we put into creating plastic materials that we use for 5 minutes and then never again. Well, actually, you moron, it's an astonishingly small amount of resources. That's why you can sell a straw for less than a penny. We put hardly any into it. That's why there are straws. Anyway, they say single-use plastic straws are now the cultural equivalent of tobacco. Socially unacceptable. Oh. Yes, and they say it's a challenge. What did we do with the outlawed straws? This is hilarious. The first day the law took effect, restaurants in Washington, D.C. threw away tens of thousands of pounds of plastic straws. Just showing that what's a liberal to do? They're just... Well, it would be amusing. It would be completely amusing if they were just hapless and entertaining. But they are on the verge of destroying society. And they have made all of us a little more comfortable with killing this past week. And so look back, look inwardly, and look heavenward for guidance and beg for mercy, because God's hand will not be stayed forever, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why we're here, and we're glad you were here with us. That's it for this week. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at American Right to Life. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.